St. Mary Magdalene indeed is a great witness for all of us this weekend as we celebrate the theme of Elevate. That Mary Magdalene gives us a perfect, beautiful example of what discipleship to Jesus as Lord looks like. Scripture doesn't tell us much about Mary Magdalene except for that she had 7 demons cast out of her by Jesus. Now, I don't know what that looks like, but I'm sure Mary Magdalene wasn't having the best day that day when she met Jesus. But I imagine also that she may have been afraid or intimidated to encounter him. Perhaps she didn't even raise her eyes up to look at him because perhaps she thought that he would look at her with disdain, with disappointment. What have you gotten yourself into this time? How many times have you heard the law and yet you fall again and again? And what Mary Magdalene provides an example for us is not falling into one of the temptations the devil gives us of how to define ourselves. Never define yourself by your weaknesses. Your weaknesses do not define you. Your sin does not define you. Your struggles do not define you. Yet sometimes when we think about our spiritual lives, we think that Jesus just compares us to himself. And we say, well, Jesus, I'm so broken. And I keep falling time and time again. I just can't seem to get it right. I must be a bad person. I must be unlovable. There's 2 things that Jesus Christ never said to anybody that he has encountered in the Gospels. First, your sin is greater than my love. Sorry. Never said it. Second thing he never said was, hey, don't worry, there's this thing called Good Friday. I'm going to take care of it, so keep on sinning. Wouldn't that be great? He doesn't say either of those. What does he say? Come follow me. In our first reading, we hear St. Paul say that Jesus Christ died for all of us, that all of us, as we die with him, rise with him, and that all things are made new. I remember one time I was spending a summer with the Air Force as a chaplain candidate, and we were with these chaplains from all other denominations. And each of us got a half an hour to talk about our faith history, 2,000 years and 30 minutes. So we do a blitzkrieg of church history to all the other officers in the room. And then there was this captain that was there, and I was an officer, but she was a captain. She outranked me, and she asked me this question. I used to be Catholic, she said, but I got tired of feeling guilty all the time. What do you have to say about that? So I took a deep breath and put my head down for a second, and I looked up at her and I said, what are you doing that makes you feel guilty all the time? With that, she kind of blushed and left the room, and I left the Air Force. But what she was stuck in was, again, this dynamic of thinking that I am defined by my sin, and that I have to either fall into that pitfall of saying I'm defined by my sin or my sin doesn't matter. You see, the church talks about this in this way. It says that there are 2 types of guilt. One is static guilt, static meaning it doesn't change. That's a guilt that tells you that you're a bad person, and that comes from the devil. That is not true. But dynamic guilt, it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the gift of our conscience that says, you were created for something more than this. That there is a power within you that is greater than the power in the world. Pick yourself up and come and follow me. And that dynamic guilt is a call to holiness. It is a gift of Jesus' love and mercy in our lives. So if I asked you to think about your worst moment or your greatest struggle, how many things come to mind? I know for myself, lots of things pop into my brain. And there's a weight to that because I think that that's how God sees me, or that's how I look at myself. And we need to allow Jesus to transform us. Seven demons were cast out, but I believe there are seven gifts of the Holy Spirit that replaced them. And that Mary Magdalene's entire heart and mind was elevated so that she was able to travel with Jesus, to remain with him, to stand by him on Good Friday, to be there as a witness to the resurrection and to be an apostle to the apostles in giving witness. Never, never define yourself by your weakness. But then we can fall into a second trap. And that is, I want you to think about the best thing you have ever done. The best thing. Or the best thing you think about doing sometime in the future. What do you envision? We know that we were created for greatness. What great thing do you think that you can accomplish? What was the nicest thing you ever did? The most charitable thing you ever did? And if you think that that is what makes you pleasing to God, you're also selling yourself short. Because it's not about what we can do. It's about who we are. Even if I somehow was able to cure cancer and perform this great work for all of humanity, and I thought, well, there is the fullness of who I am, I would be selling myself short. Because Jesus has plans for us that transcend anything that we can accomplish. St. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, he says that salvation itself is a gift that nobody can boast that they have earned it, because it is not by what you have done. It's a gift of God who loves you. I'm going to share with you an embarrassing story from my own life. Well, a lot of my life is embarrassing, but so my spiritual director one time, he says, I want you to pray about the time that God was most pleased with you being vocation director. Vocation director for about 6 years now, so I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. I'm sure it's going to be some time that I gave this one talk and hearts were changed, or maybe it's this retreat that I gave, or conversation with a young guy, young girl that moved them on to discern their vocation in a new way. I'm like, oh, I can't wait for this. This is going to be Jesus patting me on the back in a brand new way. So I go and I pray, Jesus, show me the time that you were most pleased with me as vocation director. And this is what came into my mind. At the time, I owned a Bernese Mountain Dog. I don't know if you know what a Bernese Mountain Dog is. It's a pretty big dog. They can pull 2,000 pounds. They're Swiss Mountain Dogs. His name was Samson, by the way. And Samson had this funny quirk about himself, and that is that after I would go for a run and come back exhausted and lay down on the ground on my back, just kind of laying there, Samson would come over and lay down on his back next to me, paws up, just being like, oh, is this what we're doing now? And so Samson and I would just recover from my long jogs. Well, I was so impressed by this that I brought him to work the next week, and I thought that I wanted to show the ladies that work in my office with me this great trick. So I decided that I'm going to lay down in the middle of the office floor and invite Samson to come over and lay down next to me. So I lay down on the ground, and I'm like, come on, Samson, come on, here we are, exhausted. And the dog just stood there looking at me, looking at the ladies, and was like, I don't know what he's doing, and goes and lays down on the other side. Now, what I didn't know, or what I had forgotten, was that I had scheduled a meeting with like 20 people from the diocese that day, and they had all come down the steps and into the office. Well, I am lying on my back, paws up, Samson, come over here, get over here, right? Looking like an idiot. I look like an idiot a lot. That was the moment that Jesus brought to my mind about the time that he was most pleased with me as vocation director. Why? Because I was free at that moment. I wasn't performing. I wasn't trying to achieve. I wasn't defining myself by the number of seminarians or by the type of work that I do. I was just being a beloved son who loves dogs probably a little too much, acting like a fool in front of others. And it was pleasing to God. Your belovedness, your very substance as a son or a daughter of God, is the foundation from which all good things should flow. And when we sin and when we fall, we need to allow Jesus to elevate us out of that and to restore our belovedness, to remind us we are his beloved. And no matter what great things you might accomplish, it does not add to your belovedness because it is eternal. So let us pray to St. Mary Magdalene this weekend. I am praying to her this weekend for each of you, that you may, in your own way, in whichever way God desires this weekend, to elevate you, to lift up your heart and your mind, so that as we come and follow Jesus, as we walk with him, as we learn from him, as we are healed by him, and even as we suffer and die with him, we may come to share eternal life with him as well.